Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
911 emergency. Police.
Search goes on in San Francisco for the man known as the Zodiac Killer.
In New York, the search continues for the .44 caliber killer.
See if you can explain to me why I would want to be a Scientologist.
Betches Media presents...
Tell me we have a lead.
Stone Cold, no.
It was literally like the Hunger Games.
Not another true crime podcast.
What can I say? Tough titties.
It's all fun and games until someone gets hurt.
Happy holidays and welcome to Not Another True Crime Podcast. Thank you.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Oh my God, you guys have to sing the whole episode. You know that, right?
That's our thing.
Do you have to ask us once?
I know. I'm like, pretty much, I realized that as I was just couldn't stop singing everything I was doing in my house the other day, that's how I process.
It is
like that's how I get through my day. Like I'm just like couch making a sandwich. I'm gonna turn on the TV.
I'm just like, oh, bitch, you are late again. You will be fired by the end of the year.
Processing my day, and then I accepted it.
It happens.
I know, because I think Robbie sometimes is like, stop singing, and I just have to tell him like, I'm working through it.
I'm going through it.
I'm processing my day.
Emotions. Yeah, but this is a double duty, a double whammy.
Big app, guys.
Double. Part episode.
This is big ep energy.
However you say it. Big
but not Epstein energy, just big episode.
No. Who did kill himself. Just kidding.
I was like, you're fired.
I'm a stand-up comedian, you guys. It's called comedy. Ever heard of it?
ever
heard of it?
Okay. Oh my gosh. Yeah, we're all here today, as you can tell by the fact that we're already off the rails 2 minutes in, less.
It's how it's happened.
Yeah, we didn't even. Well, Danny had a glass of wine, but we just held a glass of wine. The rest of us to take a photo, and we're wild.
I had a glass of wine and a mini thing of champagne, and then three tasting sips of wine.
Wait, did you go to happy hour at 2 p.m?
Yes, how dare you accuse me like that? Yes, I did. Well, because I was at a cafe eavesdropping on dates.
Oh yeah.
And then I was like, then I was starting to feel alone, and I was like, this isn't fun anymore.
Oh yeah, I love that.
The dates
text.
Aren't going well. Oh yeah.
Oh boo.
I know. Yeah. But like they were both 40. Like the guy was. 40 minutes late, I want to say, because he was sitting at the cafe right next door, and they're both just sipping tea, and I was like, how did you just connect these dots?
Yeah.
You guys can do that. And then
40 minutes late, I would fucking go home and be tweeting about how men are trash.
And also, like, what was your guys' lunch break like? Like, a Monday? Yeah. Like, what is going on here?
Just for reference, Danny texted us and was like, I'm sitting next to a first date, and if it goes longer, I'm going to have to miss the podcast.
I know. I almost,
like, that's totally understandable.
I almost was not here, and then I was like, you know what? I want a glass of wine. And then I made that happen. Weirdly, the only person in the bar, but it was fabulous.
I love that for you. Unlike Casey, who missed last week because she was sick, a.k.a. hungover.
Guys, I'm so sorry. Okay. Here's the
I like
thing.
Also,
Casey's like, what
well,
happened?
How it started
was.
To me and Sarah just, guys, I really am sick. I can't.
I texted over, I coughed over texted. Yeah.
Somehow.
Because, okay, here's the thing. I'd gone, so it was a simple enough roommate's birthday. And it's, well, she was like, and my roommate was like, well, I'll start, we were just going bowling and having people. She's like, I'll start at 6. That's reasonable. And then everybody's done by like 9 or 10, which never.
No.
The earlier start, the longer you drink.
Yes.
Yep.
And so I had, and I realize now, of course, it's always the culprit. Didn't eat enough. I had a White Claw on my way, and it was in my neighborhood too. So I felt safe.
Oh, no. Everything.
That will do it to you.
Yes.
So I had a White Claw, and then there I had a bunch of the Bon and Vives. Bon and Vives.
Oh, those are so
bon
much strong. Like those are so strong.
I mean, yeah. by like the seventh one, the bartender wasn't even charging
the
me.
The seventh one.
He like
oh my God.
He was like telling me how he didn't drink, and I'm like, cool, I'll take another. And then I like got my cash out, and he's like, what are you even doing? I'm like, I don't know.
He was like, sure. You're on your seventh spike seltzer at a bowling alley on a Sunday.
Yeah.
This is on the house.
This is on the house. Yeah, truly, truly. But you know, if you just talk to people, they will. Do things for you. I mean, like every time I've made friends with a bartender, I've gotten at least one or two
that
free
is,
drinks.
You show kindness, and my always thing is you tip what you get for free.
Oh yeah. So I think I like ordered one for me and my friend, and I will go to pull up my cash, and I just put $5 down, and he goes, sure. Like two more.
You're
or
like
something.
Bartering. Yeah.
I was like, here. But so yeah, and so as it turns out that if you drink approximately, I mean, I probably had about. Maybe 10.
Wow.
And then I had that's some like shots of Pinot Grigio, and then I had some Bud
Lights.
Did you
say shots of Pinot Grigio?
Yes, it's the most fun thing. Oh, yeah, this is a thing I do. Guys. I order shots of Pinot Grigio at a bar.
How do they charge you for that?
See, they don't know how, which is really fun.
which is her second rule of scamming the bartenders.
Yes. Well, sometimes they just laugh. Sometimes I'll just say, you can charge me for a full glass or how many of her glass, you know, and a lot of times they'll be like, this is on me, and then they'll charge me for the second round after I go do it again. They're like, oh, this is a thing you're going to keep doing.
Wait, but why would you?
This is your shtick?
Why do you only order it in shots?
Because it's fun that way. Because it's not. It's not as scary for people. Because if I'm like, everybody shot a whiskey, that's a game changer.
It's
that's a night ruiner.
Thing, yeah.
But Pinot Grigio shots make everybody giggle.
No,
the bartender's all like, "Whoa, you guys are silly."
I have a friend. I was at a bar with my friend Laura, who listens. Shout out. She better. And then he was like, "Oh, you guys are fun. I'm gonna give you guys shots of mezcal." And Maya was like,
"Ooh,"
but I do like a mezcal. So I was like. And also the bartender was cute. So I was like, literally, what? Sure. I love.
Whatever you say. And shots of gasoline.
And then my friend Laura was like, actually, I'm going to have a shot of wine and I would like that. And he's like, I've never heard that before. Sure.
That's what I'm saying. It's just a really funny thing.
You got to call it the Casey. If you guys do shots of Pinot Grigio. Yeah.
So it's so funny. I think I posted something about it on an Instagram story. And a friend of mine, Margo, from like... we worked together, what, it had been like 7 years now ago. She goes, holy shit, this is still a thing. I was like, baby girl, you don't outgrow Pinot Grigio shots. So anyway, the next day, the bottom line is White Claw is trying to kill white women. I knew Sarah would like that. I was so.
Like they got us.
I was
we
so
gone.
Fucking hungover. I like literally, I think I missed a laser hair appointment. I had to text you guys because I couldn't. I was like, my eyes, you know when you feel drunk in your eyes? That lasted until like, you get
new
it.
New goal.
Drunk in your eyes. You know when you like to take a shot and it goes straight to yours? Anyway, I was like lying in the bed and my sister kept FaceTiming and I was like, at 9 p.m. I was like, I still felt. And she's a nurse. She's like, you're poison. She's like, that's too much. I was like, I was just drinking this back seltzer.
So have funny beef.
And you're like, I thought it was hydrating. It's
but
water.
But I think it's malt liquor. It's like malt liquor. It's
I mean,
for
yeah.
You. So anyway, alcohol is bad
like
for you.
It's like Cetaphil. Yeah.
So I've been on a break for a whole week, which, you know, as we all know, as grown-ups, is a long time.
That is a long
after 21, time. You just drink every night.
It really is. That's what it hits, Steph. Yeah. It just kind of makes it happen. I think I've been drinking every day since Halloween.
Yes. Yeah, but can I tell you guys, I was hungover for 3 days. That's when I was like,
that's bleak.
This is,
I think
it was so.
Well, because you drank like you were under 21 when you were over 21. Because that's my thing. Because I'll drink a lot during a week, but I'll have like a glass of wine, a martini.
Yeah.
And then I'll be like, night, watching SVU in bed.
A happy hour at 2 p.m.
Like exactly. It's kind of what you do. It's called being an all-American.
I know. I'm honestly just jealous I couldn't leave work to join you. Otherwise, I'd be there.
I know. And then I was like, wait, if Sarah gets fired from Betches, I feel like this would be awkward for the podcast.
Yes, but it would be so great for our drinking habits.
That's so
and
true.
Bad for our lives.
Yeah. But I am going to a Christmas party tonight, and so there's part of me that knows that they... I know, because they serve at this bar I'm going to. They serve longboard, which is
be
my favorite Halloween Hawaii beer. Oh. No, I can't. No, you guys, I might be strong. I might just.
Well, the thing
don't
about,
say you're not going to drink because
also,
we know you're going to lie, and then you're going to drink
gonna break
like 14
into here
shots.
And be like,
I don't want 14 shots.
Yeah,
it's gonna.
Well,
happen.
Actually, a good thing about beer is it just fills you up, so you won't.
Yeah, and we're there's going to be a lot of food there.
Oh,
you guys,
you're going to drink.
It's happening.
And
we're
meanwhile,
excited.
Sarah's going to a workout class, so we're all...
Yeah, I'm trying.
I feel... See, when I hear that you're going to a workout class and I'm like, good to have a couple beers, I feel like...
And you're like, oh, my life is so hard. I'm going to a Christmas party.
I haven't worked out since 1776. I literally
two.
Feel like it. It's hard.
That's impressive. I think it's because we did the Bikram yoga episode and now you can't go to Bikram yoga.
I honestly, it's different. And also, I had an infected fingernail, so a lot's going down.
You have an infected fingernail.
It's healed now because, guys, another life hack, get a brother who will go to medical school because then they can just call in prescriptions for you.
Yeah.
If that is illegal, he didn't do it. But
I'm pretty sure it might be.
No, he examined you.
Because I've asked my sister to get the IV bags for when you're hungover. And she's like, I can't.
You know, you don't need a prescription for that.
No,
you
so apparently, actually, Rachel Deloach Williams was telling me that there is something here in New York that will come to your house. It's kind of expensive, but
they have it. I've done it before.
It's called like...
there's one like drip IV or some shit like that.
Or, but she said it was called like something like... what is that when they called like old-timey medicine?
Apothecary? No.
Yeah, the apothecary. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. There's something called like apothecary stuff.
Yeah,
and
we just
it's like $300 or something.
Yeah,
like that.
I mean it's expensive, but they have those places.
But I would have paid on that fateful Monday.
You
I would
have
paid because I literally went to sleep going like, will this ever be? Will I wake up tomorrow? Will this ever be over? Will
I ever be okay?
It's like lame. It's like, I dreamed a dream. I know. And time gone.
Well, because usually, here's my theory is usually like you get the day after a hangover is like the day you're most productive because you feel like such shit from the day before. But I literally, 2 days later, I was still like,
no, I think my hangover is like white a claw. Semi 2 day affair because like the day after is just like, incapacitated, and then the next day I'm still like a little tired, sluggish, like kind of sniffly. My lips are peeling because of the dehydration. You know how that goes. It carries into the next day.
Schedule facials when I'm hungover because I need like my skin that's is a peeling good idea. Off. It's to very, get
like
yeah.
Oh, see, I mean, but like that's so brave of you to be in society. Because whenever I'm hungover on a train, I feel like everybody knows.
I weirdly haven't been like this is gonna be my kiss of death. I haven't been hungover in a minute and a half.
That's what you told me in the text, and I was so pissed at you.
I know because I think I'm giving. I transferred all my hangovers that have been overdue to you.
Oh. All I'm saying is, you guys, no more spiked seltzer for this.
End of a decade, literally.
And that's all that's in my fridge. I told you everybody left it over at Thanksgiving. So like literally, I'll my come entire take fridge. It.
I'm kind of just gonna have just it, girl. Vodka sodas, or I taught you a low carb Cosmo. Guys, it's a vodka soda with two splashes of grenadine juice.
Oh, that's right.
It's like so that. Good. It's like a kind of like Shirley Temple that have seen some things. Yeah.
Well, we used to call it Dirty Shirley's. Yeah, that was a big thing when I was bartending. We would always get sugar and booze to just
anyway. Get you through the holidays. All right.
Well, anyway, speaking happy holidays.
And yeah,
I'm sorry I missed last week because I was being a degenerate, but I missed you.
All. I know. It was so funny because we were like, Casey would have fell for LuLaRoe. I wish she was here.
So I listened to the episode actually today when I was driving home from Massachusetts. And I will, full disclosure, I never did it. I never bought any, but I did have a friend that was like, have you tried? Like, you should check into it. You should look into it because all my friends are doing it and they're like making extra money. And like, so there was a brief thought in my mind when somebody was like, you should do this. And I was like, should I?
Thank God you didn't.
Because I literally, you guys, I have bought, I'm surprised I didn't because I've bought the candles. I've bought Arbonne. I've bought Rodan and Fields. I've done everything.
It happens.
Wow.
So thank God.
I don't know. I don't never think all of them are so bad. Like my parents have a ton of Pampered Chef stuff and like that stuff, they have it like 30 years later. You don't have Pampered Chef? It's like
no. I would like to be pampered by a chef if anyone is single.
Yeah, I mean it's like a direct sales like kitchen wear and like Tupperware is like the original MLM and like bitches love Tupperware.
I want that to be dating app though. Pampered Chef. You know what I mean? Yeah. That is what I'm going to be making.
People that eat and people that cook.
Yeah.
We match you. Are you an eater? We match you. We're
the cooker. I just want someone to like make me like. I don't know, like pasta while rubbing my back. Like that is.
I'd like a bedside omelette.
Yes.
A French omelette. I tried to make a French omelette the other day. I'm wet for omelette. Just butter. I am wet for omelette. Why do you always have to do this?
God. I don't know. But you can see us do that more live too. If you guys.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Oh my God. I hope you guys
are
for...
still listening. If you haven't like shut us off by now.
I hope not.
We're doing a live show.
We are doing a live show. January 24th. We've already got some people that have bought tickets for
AJ, Semela. And then I know some people have been like posting on the group about it. Hopefully
I was like, and maybe just those two, but we'll be there. But
they each bought it two tickets each, so you know we'll have a core four.
There we go.
Join them, and I sent us screenshots of the tickets just to make us feel good. There's no, but I'll steal some stuff from this office to give away at the live show, and that is a goddamn promise.
Don't wait to the last minute. Just buy the tickets. Do not plan your trip. Danny's going to give you a bunch of recommendations of what to do in Brooklyn.
Yeah, we had someone almost come from like Germany or
Chile.
Yeah. One of those places. Chile. Maybe both, because I think we had people from both countries. Yeah. And she was like, she actually looked into it and was like, I'm sorry, it's too expensive. And I'm like, of course. Like,
I don't go to friends' birthdays in Harlem. Right. I'm in Brooklyn.
So I know. I'm like, if you come from out of the country, your ticket's on me.
Yeah. No, truly.
Canada counts. I'll allow Canada.
Hashtag Canada. If you come from out of the country, you can stay on my couch. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
But no, I would love.
If Casey's not hungover from White Claw.
Mm-hmm. I would love to just do like a dream plan. I'll plan your day. I love planning New York days that I don't have to do and just stay
in bed. Be like the Airbnb experience.
Yes. But you can't stay in my apartment because I have a dog who ripped our couch. So it's a whole thing going on.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Scout's in trouble.
Scout.
No.
Scout. Get out.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Well, all that, this is, you know, we picked this episode because, so when, I remember we asked about movies and things like that that could possibly be about holiday scandals. And then just randomly, we happened to pick this big crime, and it's
one of
not
the biggest crimes. Yeah.
One of the biggest ones. And it's not a movie, but it did happen around the holidays.
It literally did.
On the holidays.
So when we picked this, because we were between some big ones for kind of to round out the year. Like, you know, we were between Charles Manson and Casey Anthony, but lo and behold, we chose
Lacey Peterson.
I like how we all said her name, so like we're good. Welcoming her.
Yeah, come on in, Lacey.
Lace.
Yeah,
just like kidding. That was too seance. Dark. That was dark.
Yeah. But anyway, you guys have been asking for it. This is such a meaty one to dive into.
It's heavy.
So many documentaries, so much Nancy Grace.
So much Nancy Grace doing this and twirling her hair.
And your hair gets bigger every decade, which you would think it's like, Nancy, like, we're not doing big hair anymore right now.
She just like, and like, I love like in every documentary, it's like someone giving like actual like analysis stuff. And she goes like, she was a daughter. And I'm like, that
yeah.
Nancy, and you're like, these are words.
I was like, Nancy, that is a sentence. She really, that is a correct sentence.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I don't know what I'm supposed
really
to do.
Really good at pulling at emotional strings. I mean, obviously we know, and what we'll get into is this case was definitely before it even went to trial, the media had decided.
Oh yeah. I remember
Nancy
like,
was a huge part of this.
Yeah. I mean, I remember when my dad would just be like, oh, this guy did it. He would get so upset about it.
Because I was watching one of the documentaries with my mom last night. And she's like, oh my God, this was, she would like remember. She's like, this was the story.
But there were, and there were so many, like, you couldn't even predict the twists and turns that would end up happening in this case. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so much. So I know I watched the one on Hulu, which I guess was the A&E one.
Yeah.
And then I watched the ABC
one. Which I think was
one.
The murder of Lacey Peterson.
Yeah, it's called The Murder like of Lacey Peterson. Series. So that's where I know a lot of like the information has come from, just if you guys want to check that out. It's
and then,
six or something?
Or six, yeah.
Yeah,
and then also there's
like
a ABC special, the truth and lies.
Yeah, and if you type it into Hulu, you can literally watch them all back to back, which I accidentally did in one day.
Amazing.
So five and a half hours later, I was like, wow.
Scary. Yeah. If you don't have Hulu, you can watch the A&E documentary on A&E.com, which is what I did.
Nice.
There's a bajillion and one commercial breaks. It's annoying, but I got to get my friend's dog's
Hulu. I thought
you
still have my Hulu password.
I don't think it ever works. I don't remember. We have like my roommates hooked up on the TV, but then I keep forgetting to type it in on my computer and I was too lazy. So I was let's just go to Annie, go right to the source.
And we'll break these and we'll put all of them on the Facebook group because I realize that a lot of people will like listen and be like, wait, what documentaries do you talk about? So put them on there. Keep on joining and just answer the questions.
Also, if we forget, just ask us.
Oh, just start
calling us. I literally forget all the things I promised to post and like never ever
I know.
And people are probably like still waiting for our sources.
I forget just
and I'm like,
everything I promise in general. Like someone texts me tomorrow, can't wait for drinks and dinner. I'm like, who are you?
I know. I have a feeling that I had plans tonight, but then I just forgot what they were.
It might have just been this.
I mean, yes, it definitely was.
It might have just been podcasts and photos.
Podcasts
we took
and
a
photos.
Photo.
We took a photo.
All right. Who wants to start?
I'll start.
Go ahead, Sarah.
All right. We're talking about the tragic death of Lacey Peterson. She was born Lacey Denise Rocha on May 4th, 1975 to Sharon and Dennis Robert Rocha. I don't trust a guy with two first names.
I know, but I trust a Taurus and that's her.
All right. She also had an older brother, Brent, who kind of comes up in the trial a bit.
He definitely does.
Mm-hmm. He sure does.
He's got a lot to say.
Yes. You did sound like Nancy there.
He's got a lot to say.
Yeah.
You actually?
Brent, the brother.
That was good.
Thank you
so
much.
You need to do impressions on Instagram about her.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, you should.
Maybe I should.
Get like a Teresa Caputo wig. They have the same hairstyle.
Yeah.
No one talks about
and
it.
And talk about crimes that are happening in social media. Yeah. Twitter crimes.
Ooh.
Yeah, or real ones.
All right, guys. About to go viral.
Get ready.
Here we are.
Lacey enjoyed gardening and worked on a farm with her family when she was young. And her parents also divorced when she was really young, like before age two. Because Sharon remarried a man named Ron who raised Lacey from the time that she was two. So Ron is like the actual guy that you'll see in court. She was a cheerleader in junior high and high school, and then she went to Caltech and majored in ornamental horticulture, and that's, I don't know what that is.
But that's such a, no, that school is very hard to get into, and it's it's very big for it's engineering and then also anything with like environment and like architecture and wine and stuff like that. So it's like she was like in a prime situation for
that. Super smart. When she was at school, she would visit a friend who worked at a restaurant called the Pacific Cafe.
That was in Morro Bay, where there's also seals.
Good to know.
Elephant seals.
Ooh.
If you ever want to go there.
Note it.
You're welcome.
Pro tip.
The seals thank you.
And it's there that she met Scott Peterson, who was her friend's coworker. And according to this book I read some of on Google called Lacey, Inside the Lacey Peterson Murder by Michael Fleeman. Basically, I kind of like the story of how they met because she met him at the cafe.
It's very old school. It's really cute.
It's a really cute story. Yeah.
Lacey like shot her shot and gave Scott her number on a piece of paper, and he thought it was a joke, so he threw it out, and then he later fished it out of the trash back. And called her.
She like came back too. Yeah. Like, no, bitch.
She was like, what? Call me.
Yeah. I think in 2019, this would just like happen in the DMs where a guy like hits you up and you ignore it, and he's like, no, but for real though, and you're like, fine, I guess.
And he would literally say, for real though.
For real though. For
like, oh, love is dead. Yeah.
I know. Their first date was a deep sea fishing trip, and she was apparently telling her mom that she met her future husband before they'd even gone on the date. Wow. And on the date, she got seasick and threw up on the first date. And like, kind of like that one episode of The Bachelor where like Vanessa threw up on the first date. And Nick was like, I knew she was the one. Like, it's that kind was of endearing.
I've thrown
here.
Up on a first date. There we wasn't a second. But.
Yeah. Usually,
didn't happen like this. But yeah.
We want to see the ugly.
Yeah. So then she and Scott dated for 2 years and got married on August 9th, 1997. They also opened a business together, which was a restaurant in a shopping center.
Yeah, pizza place.
But they sold it 3 years later and moved to Modesto, which is where her family was. Scott got a job as a sales rep for a company that manufactured and delivered fertilizer, which sounds riveting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Lacey.
You gotta have dreams.
I know. Like, why is. I don't know how that becomes your
dream. Oh, well, I guess because it was big, because the Modesto, it's like, from pictures of it, it was very much like a farm town.
If you have ever been. Okay, yeah. Okay, I'm gonna
Danny
keep
watched the Netflix documentary on this. Or no, the ABC. The first three episodes are like just the history of Modesto.
I know. I have like a timeshare of a sharecrop. Yeah. A time crop, yeah.
Modesto is. Okay.
It's just tell us what is it?
It's just like in the middle of California. It's just kind of a bit of a dump, you know. Like it's just kind of one of those weird towns that you're like, who forgot about you?
Well, because that's what's so funny. They're like, it's an hour away from San Francisco.
It's not.
But you,
how far is it?
I remember when I used to have to make the drive from college from Southern California to Northern California. I really feel like Modesto is not that much so, because Fresno's not necessarily in the middle. Mm-hmm. It's like a little bit closer to the Bay Area, but Modesto is not. If I remember correctly, Modesto is not much further than Fresno. So it's still a good, like, maybe you're an hour away from like certain parts of the outside, like but not San Francisco proper. Like, you're still a 2.5 hour. Like, this is not. And just so that I don't get any fucking. I'm going to fact check myself.
That's so funny. That's like when people from Jersey say they're from New York and you're like, fucking
And San Francisco always has that thing where they're like, I'm from San Francisco, and they're from, like Richmond or somewhere. And you're
they're
like,
from Vancouver.
Yeah. And they're from, and they're from Mexico.
So you're from
like,
Washington.
Not the same thing.
That's okay. So funny. Okay. So they moved to Modesto. Lacey got a job as a substitute teacher for elementary school kids. And she really loved to cook. And apparently she would like invite people over and throw these elaborate dinner parties.
They were very popular. Like, they're
Oh, yeah. Super intense. She got pregnant in summer of 2002 after a year and a half of trying. So it was like really exciting news for them. Really big deal. Everyone was thrilled. And people just like thought their marriage was the best thing ever. Mm-hmm.
How long were they trying? I thought that they said
a year and a half.
I thought there was more. I thought it was three.
You thought it was
on
3 years?
The documentary, they said it was three.
On the one word?
In my Google book that
the mom
I read.
Said it was three.
Okay.
Yeah. Right? Because that was Sharon that said that they'd been trying for a while.
Okay.
Somewhere between 1.5 and 3 years, which is a long time.
Yeah, as far as it takes to get to Modesto from San Francisco.
Right.
Exactly. It's an hour and a half, 2 hours, by the way. But I still don't
buy it. Still not an hour.
There's a lot of traffic.
Yeah. By December, Scott was making enough so that Lacey could quit her job. I guess the fertilizer business was booming.
Boom.
I'm telling you, because Modesto
I know, we shaded it, but okay.
It thrives on shit.
So, oh God, I hate that. But like, okay. Okay, so then he bought a $25,000 membership to Del Rio Country Club. So he was ballin'.
Truly.
And he got himself the Sears Gamefisher boat, and like, which seems like a big deal because it's a boat, but it's kind of not that great of a boat, if I must say. It's just a regular-ass boat.
How do you guys know boat? Oh, just from the documentary.
From the documentary. Oh. When they replicated the boat, obviously. I'm not like, oh, well, you got to get the Sears Gamefisher
it's
$3,000.
It's just a little dinky one that if you enjoy like some solitude in the middle of like, catching like
it's
one
like
or two tiny fish.
Boat,
Yeah. So he got her the boat, huh?
Yeah. So basically it was like this idyllic marriage. Everything was going great. Lacey was pregnant. And then, you know, disaster struck.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
So here's the quick, here's the timeline of... this is the disappearance.
Which I mostly pulled from Rolling Stone.
Okay, from Rolling Stone. So.
And other places. And other places. Yeah. Rolling Stone, CNN, like those are most of our sources. Yeah. On
right.
This.
So she went missing on December 24th, 2002. She was 8 months pregnant with their son, Connor, at the time. Scott and Lacey woke up that morning together in their home of Modesto, California. They ate breakfast. They watched TV. Lacey watched a cooking show, or she watched Martha Stewart, mm-hmm. which comes into play later. So you guys
in
take that
trial.
Fact, put it in your pocket, and you remember that. So they watched.
What was that accent?
I'm really into characters.
Don't say
right
that
now,
for
your
Nancy
guys.
Grace.
Yeah, I feel like
guys,
Nancy
I'm
would
really,
never say it like that.
No, I wasn't being Nancy there. I was being somebody that tells you to put it in your pocket. Okay, so
like Alanis? A British child,
jagged little pill.
I am a Ukrainian dwarf. By the way, I never watched the Dr. Phil, which we need to.
I watched parts of it.
Okay, how was
Jappa Hunter summed it up so well for me. I feel like I didn't have to watch it.
Does she do a good job?
Yeah.
Thank you, Jappa Hunter. All right, Scott and Lacey woke up. They watched the show. Like I said, put it in your pocket. I won't use the voice. And Scott says that he last saw her around 9:30 a.m. Scott left to go fishing while Lacey took their dog Mackenzie for a walk.
Weird name for a dog, but go on.
I thought that too.
I don't trust people who name their dog after human.
It's not even like a normal dog human name like Max. It's like you took a real like random ass person's name, Mackenzie.
Yeah.
And like a unisex name.
Oh yeah. I thought their dog was a girl, but it was a boy. Apparently.
Yeah. Mackenzie the boy dog.
Yeah.
I'm going to name my dog Steak Diane. Okay. And my child.
Yes.
Okay. I'm just saying, if you guys wanted a good name for a dog, Steak Diane seems pretty good.
Steak?
So it's a French dish that's like really, it's like a really old school dish. But my friends were, I was on a group chat the other night. Somebody was like, oh, we make the best Steak Diane. I was like, Steak Diane?
They're like, is she from HR?
And so I know. So I've been on a huge kick. So I was like, that's my first kid's name. That's any pet I name. I'm just saying.
New podcast name.
Yeah. They're going to sign all their shit like S Diane.
Welcome
whatever
to my
Robbie's
show.
Last name is. And they're going to be like, what's the S for? It's like, nothing.
Steak Diane. Steak. Oh my God. What if you had a baby and you named it Diane?
Rare.
But no, Diane babies are not born. They come out the womb 40 years old.
Yeah. With a blazer.
Yeah. Okay.
And writing post-it notes on your car saying, you parked bad. Yeah. Children walk here. And you're like, okay.
Deaf children at play. Those ones are, anyway, don't come at us. Steak Diane. So Scott says that he lost. Okay, 9:30. Mackenzie was for a walk. Around 10:30 a.m., the neighbor Karen Service finds Mackenzie wandering around. No big deal.
I think that's wrong. I think that's 10:18 in the morning.
Oh, that's right. That was 10:18.
Yeah.
That's
10:18. I mean, it's not around 10:30, but it is at 10:18.
Well, the 10:18 was Nancy Grace's a big, like,
yeah,
she
this is like
really played because she, 10:18 apparently is a time that they used to be like, this was the time of, like, she was not alive past this time, mm-hmm. although there have been other things to kind of suggest that maybe not. So 10:18 was the neighbor. She finds Mackenzie wandering around and she just kind of opens the gate, puts him back in, closes it. Doesn't think anything twice of it.
Because they're just like, oh, the dog got out.
Yeah, exactly. At 10:45, another neighbor, Mike Schiavetta, found Mackenzie wandering around the neighbor with a muddy leash and then returned into the Peterson's yard. This as dog. Well.
Mackenzie.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not a good get boy. Her neuter.
Yeah. Yeah. There was also some time, there was also a time that there was also a mailman that came by at a certain point.
Yeah.
And
the mailman was later, not until like around noon. I put that in the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But whatever.
Because I know it was the dog barked and that was a big thing, but that's one of the arguing parts that we'll talk about towards the end. But yeah, so this timeline was very interesting because a lot of people said that they saw her, and then some people like it was just really, really muddy what happened with this weird morning 10 a.m. mm-hmm. timeline. Scott essentially told the police he went to the warehouse to send emails and then he took his boat out to the Berkeley Marina,
which was like 90 miles away from where they lived. Right.
Yeah. Berkeley was far. Berkeley's in a different, completely different area.
Yeah, super far.
So he had timestamped emails and he had a receipt from the marina. But he didn't have the receipt from the one other thing.
He went to like a gas station didn't have a receipt.
So they like argued. They were like, well, you have this one and you don't have that one. Like they couldn't.
Who saves receipts from a gas station?
Nobody does. No one. Unless you're like trying to get money back from your job. But I mean, it sounds like he was kind of in charge or whatever. But they would use this against him later to be like, well, you have this receipt. So weird.
Are you picking it? Yeah.
But he had a timestamp receipt from the arena that corroborated. So
most likely there.
That he was there. Yes, this was his alibi. So he said he fished for 90 minutes. He brought the boat back, went home. He showered. He told police he assumed Lacey just went to her mother's house. He called her around 5:15 p.m.
He called Lacey's mom.
Sharon. Yeah. Lacey's mom. So he called Sharon around 5:15 and Lacey wasn't there. And a half hour later, Lacey's stepfather called 911 to report her missing. I think he also called around to a couple of her friends as well, just to see if she was there. Because I think then at that point, Sharon starts like freaking out. Lacey's keys, wallet, sunglasses, they were all found in her purse, which was still in the house.
Which makes me wonder, like, why would you wait until 5 to be like, hey, wait a second, my wife isn't here.
That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah, because there was also, like, there were one of the things said that he, like, came home, ate pizza, drank a soda, drank some milk.
And also,
drank milk with pizza.
Ew! Serial killer. He did it. Mm-hmm. He's guilty.
That's
case
a lot
closed.
And also, because it was on Christmas Eve, like, they celebrate Christmas. Like, there's a lot to plan. There's a lot to do.
Oh, yeah, they were going to family's houses.
They had all this stuff to do, so it's not like a time for late.
I keep forgetting about that.
And because Lacey has been known as such like a home, like people said that she prided herself on being a homemaker.
Very much
and doing all that stuff. Like she would be prepping stuff,
So the fact that he kind of was like, well, I don't know where she is. So there was a huge search party. It consisted of about 90-ish people. And they offered initially a $25,000 reward for anybody that had information. And then that was eventually upped to $250,000 and finally to $500,000, a cool $500,000. They really wanted to find her.
Yeah, I mean, she was missing for two months.
Yeah. Yeah.
3 months.
Yeah.
No, wait. Yeah, whatever. 3-4 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was. It was.
Watch as I try to do simple math.
Yeah, it was a big thing. On April 13th, 2003, a couple walking their dog found the body of a late-term male fetus. That's got to be jarring.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they found a male fetus. They found it in the marshy area of the San Francisco Bay Shore in Richmond's Point Isabel Region Shoreline Park, which was just north of Berkeley.
Essentially, like literally exactly where Scott was fishing way back when.
Yes.
On December 24th. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
And then a body of a woman was found one day later by a passerby 1 mile away from where the baby's body was found. I think it was just a torso, right? It was a torso and then.
It was like dismembered body parts. Yeah, I didn't want to get too into it.
Yeah. Lacey's body was found dismembered according to reports and there were two cracked ribs.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. Ribs. I didn't mean to say that she had a cracked rib.
She had two cracked ribs. The exact date and the cause of death were never determined, but there's been a lot of speculation about people that have autopsied the body about whether or not she was actually died on the 24th. Some people say the 29th. Like there's all kinds of weird shit that are going on. Again, these timelines have been
But neither the state nor the defense ever like really said
how
she was killed. They never said when she was killed. So we really just have no idea.
It's one of that annoying thing, like the media frenzy got too big that facts didn't really come into play that much for public eye.
Essentially, just the fact that they were like, well, we know she's dead. But like there's no other fucking evidence. Yeah. It's kind of wild when you think about it. Like the more I was like watching this, I was like, this is really like they found her and they found the baby, but like there's nothing else. We don't know anything else.
Even one of the jurors was like, well, I don't have to know how she died or how she was killed.
Yes,
I just
have to
know.
You're on a jury.
That's your job. That he did it. It's like you do. Like,
yeah.
You do. Yeah. It was
After obviously even before they found her body, Scott was kind of a public, or just like very much into.
Yeah, he was like definitely a person of interest.
Yeah, a person of interest. But then at the flip side too, he was so beloved in the neighborhood that everyone like. There's a lot
they
of
were
confliction.
Like all American couple. Yeah, like they were, he they was were the good looking. She had dimples. Like
honestly, I love dimples.
A good smile. But I mean, beautiful. I'm saying like that smile. They even said like that picture of her smiling was what I think what captured everyone, because they were like, oh, it, she just seemed like anybody that you
the
knew.
The all American girl. Yeah. Yep. So, but then there were like some sketchy things that Scott did that were recorded. And then, so the first one, he refused to take a polygraph on the first night Lacey went missing, which is kind of like a...
Whatever. I mean, I just put that in there because the police thought it was sketchy, but I wouldn't take a polygraph either. Those things are not admissible in court.
But,
like,
but at that time they were. Remember, in the 90s, everyone was doing polygraphs.
In 2002?
The 90s of 2002, yeah. Everybody.
Thank you.
But I mean, but I consider about until like 2004, the 90s.
And I mean, I don't know.
I think that that's fair.
I'll take it. Britney Spears probably agrees with you.
Do you know what I mean? Like the things were still, we were still wearing weird belts around our on top of our shirts. Like shit was happening.
Slap bracelets,
so,
yeah. Another sketchy thing that I remember in my documentary about Modesto, the mom said that on the night before Christmas, I don't know, that when she was over at their house, Scott and she like rubbed the Lacey's belly because the child was kicking. Lacey was like, Scott never wants to touch the baby's belly.
Oh, yeah. And the mom thought that that was really
very
weird.
The mom kind of like very much jumped into that. And my mom also agreed. But I don't know if that's just a mom thing. Or, yeah. But I thought it was interesting. Yeah. And then on top of that, police said in following days that Scott didn't ask a lot of questions and seemed almost unconcerned about the investigation's process.
Which is weird because you'd be like, where's my wife? Why don't you have info? Let me take your card. And he never did any of that, apparently.
Because like on the flip side, Lacey's stepdad, who's essentially her dad since birth, Ron... was like crying, constantly calling, trying to get the work, stuff like that. So it's very much like 180 between the two of them.
Right.
He couldn't remember the kind of bait he used when he went fishing that morning, which I feel like it's...
Yeah, I don't remember what I ate for breakfast. Yeah. So but, to me, that's fair.
But I wonder if it's because like if fishing is a passion of yours too, you think you'd be able to be like, okay, I mean, like, you know what filter you use on Instagram posts. It's kind of a thing like that where...
I guess also
you do?
Because, like...
I mean, I never filter mine because I'm...
I use the
first... Or I use the Paris one. I use Paris.
No, I always use the, first filter on the feed. It starts with a C. I forgot what it's called.
Really?
But I guess also because, like, it would be one thing if she went missing and then they didn't realize that she had died for, like, a couple weeks. And then you're like, what type of bait did I use 2 weeks ago? But they knew immediately that something was wrong. So you'd think that it would kind of be fresh.
Mm-hmm. So on December 31st... Oh, this is when...
This is like the worst.
This is
the worst.
Yeah. So on December 31st, 2002, so this was before Lacey, they found her body. The family had a candlelit vigil for Lacey. And Scott was captured smiling and laughing, which is already very weird and bizarre. But then on top of that, I truly screamed on my couch when I heard this. He was having an affair. And he called the woman he was having an affair with on the night of Lacey's vigil.
I would like the record to reflect that I wrote side chick in the outline.
You did write side chick. It felt like not my vibe to say that.
That's
but
fair.
Yes. And he told on the phone, because it was recorded, when he was talking to his side chick, he said that he was ringing in New Year's Eve in Paris and like traveling from Paris to Brussels. And it was like, obviously not true, because he was at
all
this vigil for his missing
wife. I also really want to know, I'm like, did you just duck into a corner and nobody noticed that he was like, hey, babe, or whatever
the
shit that he
said?
There was
like the phone call recording. And by the way, this recording is like one of the things that was one of the most shocking thing. Because as we get into the trial, we'll see the prosecution definitely had a ton of missteps. And the defense had this like, they had Mark Garagos. So he was like, he's like an ironclad. Like he's so good. But this
call. Didn't he
call,
defend Michael Jackson or something?
He defended.
And also he.
Casey Anthony as well.
Mm-hmm. And also he equated the. Public opinion of him as the like back to Jim Crow time, which I kind of thought was very disgusting.
But what does that mean?
So he was like, the way that you guys are treating Scott Peterson is like the way people
What the fuck?
I literally was like, are you no?
Yeah,
wow.
But he's vile, but he is good at.
He's vile, but he was so. I mean, like when we get into it, like he really did make the prosecution look like fucking idiots.
It wasn't enough.
But this New Year's Eve phone call particularly also, is where you go. So, you go. You're
this
at
is
a
the,
vigil
yeah.
for your.
Yeah.
For your
missing wife.
Pregnant wife?
Yeah, this is
people
the one
crying.
Thing that I can't get past. Mm-hmm. Like, everything else I could think that he didn't do it, but
this
makes me just be like...
This was a weird thing.
This is too weird to explain.
So,
you know what I wonder, too? I'm like, for his side chick, who I am going to affectionately call dumb bitch in this sentence.
But no, but no, she's
not.
Not for anything, just for this part.
Who knew? Was it actually midnight in Paris? Do you know what I mean? And not like the movie.
Yeah,
I
no,
was like,
because
like he called her at like when 8 or like 7 p.m. when this vigil was happening. I'm like, yeah, girl, do you not like? Doesn't make
and
sense.
And you're like, do the
that
math.
That would be 6 hours if he called her at the vigil's at 7. Paris is 6 hours.
That's like 1:30.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like it doesn't quite add up.
Hey, I'm at the New Year's celebration. The lights just went off at the Eiffel Tower. That's only my thing.
That's true. Yeah.
But besides that, she was
done the math.
She was duped hard.
But she. But also Amber, which we're going to get to. But she even said, she's like, I've never been to Paris. I've only seen it in movies. Like Amber was a very sheltered, like simple woman. She wasn't going to fact check.
Yeah.
She wasn't going to fact check the time. She doesn't know. Okay. Like she did not know. Like you could have called her from sitting across and be like, I'm in Paris. She'd be like, I swear, I think I'm seeing you.
She's like, we.
Yeah, with her like. Helium voice.
Yeah, poor girl. Yeah.
But at that time, she was already tapped, right?
Yes. Yeah. She was already working with the police at that time. Yeah. All right. Also, okay, major sidebar. Like, do you or do you not think that Gone Girl was just based off Lacey Peterson and Scott Peterson?
Ooh. I was just thinking the smile when Ben Affleck smiled.
Yeah.
I was like, that was very
That literally is very. Gone Girl. It's so Gone Girl.
Except
like,
for one major twist.
Yeah, I know. But I feel like they based the husband off Scott
the
Peterson.
Twist.
Oh yeah, the
Gillian
yeah.
Flynn. If you're listening to this, please confirm.
Yeah, I would say because
I know.
Well, and do you know
she
had
cool.
to have?
And so because that would essentially that's essentially the reason why they were like Scott did it is just because their whole case was he didn't act right. Mm-hmm. He didn't act right about it. And I remember there was a tapped phone call between him and his mom was like, "You just come from stoicism. Like you're just stoic. That's just how we are."
Okay,
we
they're like, stoic, blah, blah, blah. And then there's Wait. Calling
then
your
there's
side chick during your wife's.
I get it. I get it.
Blow Big or Go Home, or Flow Big or Go Home, who was also stoic. Or no, who was? Because I remember we were talking
oh,
about
Oh, Pamela Smart.
Pamela Smart. Okay, yeah,
I'm stoic.
Stoic.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's stoicism, but then this is like you're a sociopath.
But I think that just
Or
not,
you already know that she's
but
dead.
But I also would make the argument that just acting not right does not mean you did something. I think everybody deals with tragedy different, and you don't know if it's going to make you, like, you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, but this
like,
is
tragedy
one sticking
make
point
you call
that
your,
I, yeah, no, I can't get
phone
over.
A friend, and the
no,
friend is a person
the
you're
call,
having an affair with.
I agree, is 100% psycho, but I
yeah,
don't think you can convict somebody
smiling
to death for
photos,
not acting right.
Yeah, is not crazy, is not that bad to me,
right.
But, like, combined with everything else is bad.
Yeah. So let's get into the
affair.
Yeah,
let's talk about this affair, Amber Fry. I literally remember this as a kid,
this,
like seeing this on the news.
And I think this also, besides the fact that he wasn't acting right, people literally, just the fact that he had an affair put in people's minds
I know,
that he did it.
It did, it did. I know, people love to like pearl clutch and it's like, what are you really doing in your free time, you sketchy motherfuckers?
Oh yeah.
We're all sketchy, whatever.
Mm-hmm. We've all done secrets. We've all texted somebody. But this was like, we've all texted somebody, but like, this was like such a shocking
so
turn. This
explosive.
Was almost like out of a fucking book or something.
Out of Gone Girl.
Out of Gone Girl.
Fry was a massage therapist and a single mom, and she met Scott in November 2002. So, like, really, they weren't even dating that long.
They said that they
went on
each other
like
four times.
Yeah,
times. But they fucked like the first night.
Yeah,
which, that's what
I know. Yeah. They were like, they went to the Radisson, and I was like, ew.
That's where the magic happens. Have you not been to a Radisson?
Because
I have not.
Like, on how he did it, though, he was like, I just have to go shower upstairs, and then had like candles, chocolate, champagne.
Ew,
which they said he
so
had
skeezy.
Done to somebody else. Like he had cheated on Lacey before.
Mm-hmm.
This guy was a cheater.
Yeah, gross.
Mm-hmm.
Gross. They were introduced by a woman Scott met at a trade convention who was friends with Amber. And I just read that he was like fucking gross at this trade convention, like telling this woman he should just put like horny on his name tag, something to that effect. Like some gross anecdote that it's like, dude,
oh my God.
What is wrong with you? Put it away.
We're talking about fertilizer here, Scott.
Fertilizer. Yeah. He's gross.
Oh, Scott.
So in early December, Amber and Scott went to a holiday party together. These motherfuckers are so stupid. They were taking all these like cozy
but
pictures.
But there wasn't social media. Well, these are just pictures
also,
that would like live
I know,
with her.
Yeah.
Also because she didn't know anything was
he's stupid. He's dumb for letting himself get photographed.
No,
but whatever. And this is the other part too that is so like
there's a lot of evidence that says he's psycho.
Yeah.
There's a lot.
Okay.
There's a lot.
So Scott told Amber that his wife had died and it would be his first Christmas without her, which is just oddly prophetic given what we know. So then,
this was before,
Mm-hmm.
It's like he was already referring to her as dead, preparing for something maybe. On December 30th, 2002, Amber saw a news article about Scott put two and two together, called the police tip line, and then started secretly recording her conversation.
Which I thought it was so good on her. I'm like, that's really she impressive.
What a smart lady. Also, her friends were like, hey, that guy you brought to our Christmas party is all over the news. Because she even says, she's like, I didn't watch the news. Because even when in one of the calls, when Scott calls her, he's like, have you been watching the news? And she's like, no, why? Like, she didn't watch the news. She didn't.
Well, also
because
she's a single mom. Yeah, she was raising a kid, working. Yeah, she's
but, time, yeah. But her friends were like, oh, that guy you brought to the Christmas party, it's...
Imagine. Can you fucking imagine?
So what she lacks in geographical sense, she makes up for in knowing how to call the police. So I will give her that.
Yeah.
You'll love to see it.
Yeah.
And like we mentioned, she had recorded this phone call the night of the vigil, which was like explosive.
Yeah, he was even a dick in the phone call. He's like, I'm actually in Brussels now. And she's like, what?
That was the one after. Yeah. And she's like, oh, that's right. You took a train to Brussels.
Yeah. And then she would just be kind of like trying to trap him in all these lies. And he never like really... it. On January 24th, she went on a press conference to reveal the affair because the National Enquirer had pictures of them together and was basically going to publish them. And like, oh, that poor lady.
I know.
Bad updo in the press release.
Oh, I know.
Well,
because it could be a thing like if she doesn't tell her truth and what actually happened, people could be like, oh, they were, like, you know what I mean? Like, you don't want the conversation.
No, it was smart. I think the police was like, let's get this news out. Let's get in front
and
of
then
it.
She had some racy. It's just so unfortunate because this woman.
The bad photos of her.
There were some.
They were great photos, but
they were just
racy. You know what I mean? They were like.
Bad for a situation like this.
In the media, when you've got a missing woman that everybody loves and now you've got this woman who's posed nude before, you're going to make like that she.
Yeah,
Amber Frey
that
poor
lady.
Well, also when it's the National Enquirer.
Yeah, but she did nothing fucking wrong. Yeah. She thought she was dating a guy that she met that she's like, I felt like we had this connection. She's like, it was
weird. The major kicker, like the thing that moved this case.
Yeah.
Forward.
But it really does suck that she became this thing when it they slut shamed her and she had no idea that she was dating somebody that was married.
I know.
Yeah. She would have had no idea.
She would have had no idea.
We didn't have Facebook.
And the minute she found out, she called the cops.
But you get set up by your friend too. You're not going to be like, are they married? You know what I mean? Yeah.
Is he a killer? Did he kill her? Did he kill her? But
on a scale of one to sociopath.
Yeah.
But like her press conference was actually heartbreaking because she like, it's just like, I'm a single mother. Please respect my privacy. Like, and she was like almost on the verge of tears because could you imagine your world gets upended and there's people like on your lawn calling you like a slut and all this stuff and you have a fucking child, man.
Yeah that's horrible.
Ugh. Okay. But you know, let's get back to Scott.
Although
and
it does kind of seem like now the tide of public opinion has like changed and been more favorable towards her, which is good. At least.
No, of course. But when it first came out,
she was like the whore and Lacey.
Up everybody's marriage and it's like she didn't.
Yeah,
like,
she didn't
had no
know.
Idea. And the minute she found out, she told on him.
Mm-hmm.
So get your Amber Frey facts straight. Get your facts straight.
Okay. I'll do that.
I will get right on that.
We've definitely discussed this, but Scott, bit sketchy of a character as we've come to learn. He famously had a terrible 2003 Good Morning America interview with Diane Sawyer. This is the one too where when he was talking to Amber, right? And there's that phone call when she's like, because meanwhile the whole time this trial is going on, Bush is like sending us to war. So there was like so many things going on.
Yeah, so much shit was happening.
It was
wild.
And then there was also like a re-election coming up. Yeah. So there was like so
much happening. And that's also
because
he was like
picking
when he should go on.
That's
things.
What he was saying. Yeah. He's like, I don't want to go on. This is the State of the Union is tonight, or not State of the Union, maybe the debates, something.
I think it was State of the Union.
It might have been State of the Union. I don't know. I'm sorry if I'm getting it wrong.
There was like an address from
there was
the
some
president.
Presidential thing, and he's like, I want to do it the next night so that I have full attention.
What a dick.
Yeah, he wants it full. Because he was like, they basically didn't prepare him to go on, and he was like, let me just go on all these things. So he had an interview with Diane Sawyer, who, you know, is such
Diane Sawyer.
Trained, seasoned
knows what she's doing. Yeah.
He told her that he told police about the affair from day one, which was
a lie.
Lie. He told her that Lacey knew about the affair and was fine with it, which was a
lie.
Lie.
He referred to Lacey in the past tense, saying she was amazing. Ooh, oopsie daisy. Scott, how do you know that? So all of these things combined with just everything that had been happening. He was arrested by the police on April 18th in San Diego, where he was staying with his family to avoid the media attention. Because, he also couldn't, he couldn't breathe. He couldn't do anything.
People are, like, on his yard and stuff like that. Yeah,
there's phone calls of him, like, I guess, and this is the part of the not acting, right? Like, he was trying to live life. Like, he just wanted to golf, and he's like, I can't have them take pictures of me golfing. That'll look really bad, which... Yeah, I mean, that shouldn't also be your mind frame.
I guess I know.
I guess I'm like the crazy person that's like, I don't want you golfing.
Yeah. So he actually was arrested on a golf course because he decided that he was going to go. I think he was meeting his brother and he was carrying $10,000 in cash, camping gear, and his brother's ID and 4 cell phones.
Mm-hmm. And at this point, he also dyed his hair red.
He had dyed his hair like blonde. He had facial hair. And everyone's like, he was close to Mexico. He was going to flee. It's like, no, San Diego is just close. I don't believe that. I don't think he was going to flee to Mexico. But he was going to do something.
It definitely looked sketchy, but he, I mean, yeah.
Well, and also the way like the, he was like I think he going was just all
trying
in
to,
on the chase.
Yeah, I think he was just trying to buy himself a little bit of like, can I just sit by myself for a minute and try to not to leave a trail. So yeah, he claimed he had his brother's ID to play golf because I'm sure that you show up as Scott Peterson, someone's gonna be like, I don't fucking think so.
Yeah, right.
But they found a rope, knives, children's book in his children's books. Whoa.
Yeah.
I did not know about this part, and in his car, and a dozen Viagra pills because even when your wife did, you still got to whack it.
He's
got to
fuck, yeah.
You got to get your personal fertilizer.
He's a sex addict. He dyed his hair, grew a beard. He was arraigned on April 21st, 2003, and charged with the first degree murder of Lacey and the second degree murder of Connor. California had just signed a fetal homicide law protecting fetuses 8 months and over, George Bush had... also signed the Unborn Victims of Violence Act, a.k.a. Lacey and Connor's Law. They had their own law, which criminalized harming a fetus when assaulting a pregnant woman.
Mm-hmm. Which is wild. Already be
I was just about
that.
To say. Yeah. It took us until 2003 to be like, don't
it
do
took well, us until Nancy Grace to make this happen.
I think it's because especially with this California law, like, that's kind of like a shady way to criminalize abortion was what a lot of that's what reproductive rights activists said. So
it's kind of the mix because that's what a lot of people
win some, you lose some.
Yeah, that's what, because I remember even when I was like watching it, I was like, okay, there's layers to this. Okay, but I'm it's an intense. Yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy.
So obviously after that.
Those are the facts of the case.
Those are the facts of the case.
And there's a lot.
The two upcoming facts are that there is a trial that we're going to get into, but we're going to get into it next week.
Sorry, guys.
Sorry, you have to go back to talking with your family.
But then you get more of us.
And we're also going to debate the guilty and the not. And also, because there's actually a lot of stuff that would say that he's not guilty. And I don't know if I believe it, but I'm ready to fight and let you guys know about it.
We're going to take you. We're going to take you back to your holiday dinners with your family. Just people are shouting, and you're like, "Can I just leave?"
Yeah.
You're going to have to sit through it, and it's going to be worth it.
I just believe in a fair trial.
All right, but yeah, happy holidays, guys, and
thank you for listening. Buy tickets to the live show, January 24th. It's going to be a fun time.
Please come. We'd love to see you.
Yeah. All we want for Christmas, Mariah Carey style, is to see you guys there. That's like truly.
That is I
don't want
to
know the other girls. Yeah, she just went number one on the Billboard Hot 100.
For the 19th year in a row or something like that, right?
It's her 19th number one.
Oh,
it's
19th
never,
number one.
Yeah, it's never happened before. That song has never hit number one before.
Oh, really?
It's a huge deal. And it's the 25th anniversary of the song.
And also, she just got in Under the Wire, so she's had a number one in every decade that she has been.
That's
an
amazing. Oh,
you'll love
my
to
friend,
see
my
it.
My friend just was at her concert that was at MSG, and like, you know how there's all those like bad videos where she can't sing?
Yeah.
Fucking bitch still got it though. No, she
of
was.
Course
I
she
was
does.
Watching his stories. Mm-hmm. I was like, she can still
sing.
Well,
also,
she's
that's
fine.
My favorite,
oh, yeah.
Like, she
she's
just
fine.
She just can't hit the eighth high
she
whistle.
Can.
Oh, she can.
I'll show you the story.
Ooh.
Because that's what I was like, still got. She just plugs her ear and she goes, and she does it.
And also, I mean, like, she's even on her worst day, she's singing better than most of the bitches that we out then there. And I'm talking to you, Camila Cabello. I'm kidding.
Ooh, I'm shade. Come at us, Camila.
Actually, don't. I don't have the money to deal with her.
That's funny.
Follow us on the pod, NATCP.
NATCP on Instagram. You can follow NATCP. I don't know what it is.
I don't know what you'll get. Don't let us know what's
anything. Hey, but let me know what is on there. Okay.
Nope. Follow Danny, Cashmere Danny with a K. Do Casey's.
Now you have to
Come on.
Get
do
the
Casey's. I did Casey's last. Case Face B. CaseFaceB.
And follow Sarah. It's Sarah F. Carter. Sarah, no goddamn age.
Thank you.
Okay.
And join the Facebook group, Not Another True Crime
And answer the
group.
Questions and tell us you love the podcast.
Yeah, yeah, just it. Answer, you know what I mean?
We're not going to accept you if you say you want to solve crimes.
Because we can't help you. And also remember, just keep on talking about Hillary Duff, giving us 5-star reviews.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All of our reviews are about Hillary Duff.
And I love it.
We're saying, like, people that look at it are probably like, did she die?
And also, we came in, our producer was like, what? Because they don't send him, like, why is everyone talking about Hillary Duff? We're like, don't ask. It's our
thing. We don't even remember anymore. We started it, and now
she deserves the world. And don't worry, I am trying so hard. I will start DMing her more and more to get her to come to the live show, or at least have it say scene. You know what I mean?
Yes, scene. Okay.
All right.
Scene. Yeah. Thank you guys so much for listening, and stay tuned for part two of the Lacey Peterson murder next week.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Betches.